the mantle is passed, we're going to be in a number of different passages, but eventually we're going to get to Joshua chapter 1. But I want to start with a bit of conversation.
I want to ask, first of all, a question, kind of break the ice maybe just a little bit, but be prepared to converse with me, because if you don't, this might be a really short message. Have you lost a father or a mentor? I see a few heads shaking, maybe. Some of you have lost parents. Certainly, as we get older, that's kind of an inevitability. We're all going to pass, and the previous generation goes before. But maybe spiritual mentors, and sometimes that would be a parent, sometimes it's somebody else. Do you have anybody that has passed that was a spiritual mentor for you? Yes. Answer aloud. Yes, who was it?
Older gentleman from Chicago area. Spent a lot of time with that kid. Just the very, very steady and methodical, while his wife was not so much emotional, but she was very direct in her work with our children. And just a good memory to have.
Oh, good.
She came to church once.
Okay, good. This reminds me, we had a blind lady who was a prayer warrior in our life, too, when we were at college. Nobody else had any spiritual mentors that have gone before?
That some of the things that you found me or just being real, they were just very real with us, and let us be real with them.
Yeah.
And,
I was just there. So about how long did that relationship go? It wasn't a long time. It was a year. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And Vicki, how long was?
4 years.
4 years.
Five.
That's not necessarily a long time when we consider our lives. Have you had, maybe they haven't passed away, but they've kind of passed out of your life? Relationships happen that way. We move from place to place, or just the way that God works in our life to bring somebody alongside of us for a period of time. The relationship grows close, and then something happens, and they've moved on, or we've moved on. Maybe somebody like that.
Different time periods. I had a late high school in my whole life when I was at church. So that when we went to Russell, I'll not forget Pearl Evans, the lady that she helped me with giving, just advice and pastoring. She was just a single lady, but she was a teacher and lots of godly advice, and she met short period we were there. I think God provided, that's what I'm trying to say, where I moved to or where I was to pass at that time.
Mm-hmm. You had the father up there, well, Dean's brother.
Yeah.
Had a real mile in him. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, so God is great in doing this for us, isn't he? What a blessing for God to bring into our lives individuals that encourage us, help us, they teach us, they role model for us. Now I'm going to ask a little bit harder of a question, maybe. What was your experience following their passing or them leaving your life? And I'll kind of start for you. Being a young pastor, it was very beneficial to go to pastors' meetings. And yet it's also been very hard, because you establish a relationship and then these guys leave and they go to another church after a year or two. And I just think of Pastor Capon. He was here for several years, and then he took the another responsibility as the state rep. I think of Jim Ackerson. We'd go out hunting together and develop a relationship, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and we don't even talk with each other, you know. My mentor, Pastor Humbert, leads the ministry. And that just is one of those things that just kind of shakes the foundations, you know. It's like, well, if he can't do it, what makes me think that I can do it? And I think of my grandpa. When grandpa passed away, it was like as if a prop, one of the supports to life, had been knocked out. And I wouldn't even allow myself to really think about it for 2 or 3 years. And then one day I was sitting in my office and I turned on some music and something came up in the list of music that just triggered me and I just wept. And it just came out of nowhere. And to realize, you know, how vulnerable I felt because one of my mentors was removed. What was your experience? What did it feel like for you when your father passed away, or maybe a grandfather?
He passed away. That's terrible.
What's the church going to do? This person seems to be so vital to the church body, so vital to the Lord's work. What is going to happen without them?
The feeling of loss and loneliness, they go again.
Yes, sorrow, loss, loneliness. Something of your life is missing, right?
After my grandma died, I felt gypped. I'm like, that's not fair.
Our pastor down in, this is not me, myself, but about 10 years ago, his comments about her dying, and yes, he had many tears. His focus is not what he lost, but Daryl, James, and going to heaven. Seeing his memories of her grabbing length there.
Mm-hmm.
But now the one who she's, hopefully I'm not going ahead of myself, but we, as I get older, what does this world have? I'm looking forward to seeing.
Again, you're going back to that sense of loss. There's something that seems to be missing, and yet as believers we have a different focus. We don't dwell upon that loss. Fathers play a very important role in our lives, and we would acknowledge that when we're kids and maybe as we're teenagers, but they still play an important role in our lives up into adulthood. And when a father or a grandfather or a mentor is suddenly removed, there's a sense of a different sense of loss, I guess. In a way, it's like, where do I go now? Who do I talk to about this now? Who's going to advise me about this now? Maybe some fear about the future. How am I going to face all of these things without a support? And that's not necessarily something that's only for younger people who may have lost a family member early, but as you get older, your support structure really starts to shrink down. That's a sad reality. And I think it's an important thing for us to acknowledge as a church body that those who are older have lost a lot of their support crew. And we ought to be able to step up in love and relate to them in that. But that's not really where I'm going with this tonight. The Bible gives us many occasions or examples when great godly men died. Can you think of any of those?
Moses.
Stephen. Okay, Stephen. Samuel. Joseph. Okay. Some of these were individuals that were very pivotal in leadership and mentorship. And I want to just think about some of these. What happened when Jacob passed away with his sons? We can go to Genesis chapter 50. First of all, in 49:33, Jacob had finished commanding his sons. He drew his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. There's a loved one that has passed. Sorrow is present. And then as time has gone by, you get down to verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So in that passing of the father, there came into their life a great uncertainty. What's going to happen now? Samuel and David, 1 Samuel chapter 25. I hadn't noticed this before. It says, "Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran." Now, as you look at these Old Testament passages, so many times when it says that one of the patriarchs went down somewhere, it wasn't just geographical, it was also spiritual. And I just find it interesting that this is even recorded. I mean, we can get right off into the next story of David's life, but why is it that it is told to us that he went down to this location? And I think it, as you look at the next occurrences in David's life, you'll notice that this is not his shining moments. This isn't his bright spot, right? You have the story of Nabal. And because Nabal's offended him, he responds in anger and he's ready to kill the guy. From there, you have David living with the Philistines and fighting with them and eventually being drawn into the war against Israel. And the things that happened there, they weren't the greatest moments of his life. It wasn't the best decisions that he was making. We have David and Solomon. And we'll come back to this one later. We've kind of studied this in Sunday school, but we saw how David didn't really make a very good plan to transition, and yet he stops and addresses his son. And he tells him some things there that we're going to be looking at. The example of Elijah and Elisha, the very aspect that we get the concept of passing the mantle, is because Elisha was mentor over Elijah was mentor over Elisha. But why did Elisha think to ask for a double portion? I ask you questions I don't have all the answers for. Why would Elisha think that he needed a double portion of Elijah's spirit? Wouldn't a single portion have been sufficient? Okay. It's going to be hard to fill his shoes. He has left, he's cast such a big shadow. There's such a vast ministry. I mean, he's gotten the school of the prophets up and going, and you can see that working out in the story as he's headed just before God takes him up in the whirlwind. Each town that he goes to, some of the sons of the prophets come out to talk to him. There might have been a little anxiety there, uncertainty, fear. Think of Jesus and his disciples What happened when Jesus went to the cross? He was suddenly removed from over top of them, as authority over them, as a presence directing in their life. And what happened?
They scattered.
Fear took over and they scattered. Paul and Timothy, we'll come back to this one if we have time. But I want to look at Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper in wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now Joshua had already been through an installation service before this point. Moses sets him before the people, charges him, commands him to be strong and courageous. And now Moses has passed, and God's voice, he speaks to Joshua and gives him all of these things. And I want us to notice that all great men, fathers, and mentors die. We've already noted that. It's the process of life. It's going to happen. And no one is so vital to the work of God that they're going to live forever in this life. That's the way God has allowed these things to work out. I mean, death wasn't natural from the beginning, but He is never limited by an individual. Great leaders come and great leaders go. And they are great for us while they're here. We learn from them, we grow, and hopefully we are positioned to become leaders ourselves. As they leave, they will leave tasks unfinished. They're not going to finish everything that needs to be done. Either in their vision, sometimes a missionary on the field sets forth a vision, they pursue after it, God blesses, things start to happen or whatever, and God takes them home and the work is left undone. Somebody else might step in and carry it on, and maybe not. But there are tasks that are going to be unfinished. They leave problems unsolved. Sometimes there's relationships that are unresolved. They often leave big shoes to fill. And you could go back to Deuteronomy chapter 34, and you could sense all of the wonder of Moses. God used him to bring deliverance for the people of Israel. doing miracles, speaking with God face to face, leading them in the wilderness for 40 years. He was a great leader. There's no argument about that. And for Joshua to have to follow such a leader could be intimidating. The presence of God in your life should not be exclusively tied to the presence of another person. The whole process of a mentor would be to take you into the presence of God, to teach you to relate to God yourself, right? But sometimes we kind of bask in the glory. Somebody has a great relationship with God. They're a great prayer warrior. And you see that they have this fellowship and this intimacy, and there's answers to prayer and all of this, and we just kind of enjoy the presence of God through them. And that should be true. Our character and our relationship with God should be such that others see Christ in us. But we should never be relying upon another individual to be the one to bring us into the presence of God. We've got to learn to relate to God on our own. And so God comes after the death of Moses, and he speaks to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go." Joshua has had a relationship with God all along the way. This wasn't a new thing for Joshua. He was very accustomed to it. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 8. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." His presence was with Joshua. God did not die when the mentor died. God doesn't die when the leader dies. God doesn't die when the father dies. God's presence is still here. He has his presence, his voice. The Spirit of God leads and directs, even when there isn't a counselor, a mentor counselor there to lead and direct. And God's power, and we'd say God's grace, his enablement to do the tasks that are set before us. Whatever may come into life, God's presence is here, and his grace is going to be sufficient. God does not expect us to be the person who passed. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Well, that's noted a couple of times here. I mean, it's kind of obvious, right? We know that Moses has already died, but God sees fit to tell Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Joshua, you're not going to be Moses. Moses has served, he's done what he was supposed to do, and I don't expect you to be Moses. Arise and go. Arise and be obedient. Do the things that I'm commanding you to do, but those things are going to be different. God expects obedience. Doesn't matter how many mentors are removed out of our life, how many props we may feel have been knocked out from under us. And really, it may be that some of that is that God wants us to rely more upon him than he wants us to rely upon other individuals to prop us up. We are expected to be obedient whether there is a leader there or not. Obedience was expected. Arise, go over this Jordan. The purposes and promises of God have not changed. He had given a promise that he was going to give this land to the people of Israel. Just because Moses has passed doesn't mean God changed his mind. He still has a sovereign will. He's working it out, and we get the pleasure of being a part of that. He's called us to serve and minister and be obedient to his leading and directing in our life. And he will continue to work out his sovereign plan of the ages. And his promises haven't changed. And we have so many precious promises, and hopefully we've learned those things. And sometimes we learn them through our mentors. But the mentor comes and goes. The promises of God's word does not. I really appreciate what you guys said about getting a mentor that takes you back to the basics of the word of God. Those things don't change. There are tasks for you to accomplish. Arise and go. You have a purpose that in some way may be apart from the one who has gone before you. If you're brought into a position of leadership, you're now a father, you now have inherited a farm, you have stepped into a Sunday school class, you're not expected to be exactly like the one who's gone before you. God has a special plan and purpose for your life. He wants to use your personality. He wants to use your talents. He wants to use your gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you're a different person than the person that's gone before you. And he wants to lead in the way that the way ahead is not always the same as the things that have gone before. Moses delivered them from Egypt. He took them to Mount Sinai. He shepherded them in the wilderness. All of that is done. Those tasks were accomplished. What was still left to do was a military conquering of the land. And Joshua was equipped for that. He was the man for the job. But if he had stepped into Moses' shoes and tried to be Moses and tried to do the things that Moses did, it would have been a disaster. There is a responsibility of stability. A responsibility of stability. Be strong and of good courage. Remember who Joshua is at this point. He's over 80 years old, with 40 years of experience as the commander of the armies of Israel. This is not the person you would think you'd have to tell so many times, be strong and courageous. This is a man's man. He's the leader of men. He takes them into battle. He is battle hardened. But suddenly when Moses is ripped out of the authority position over him and he is placed in as the position of authority over all of Israel, this man's man is struggling with fear. And God has to tell him, be strong and courageous. And he has to tell him it over and over and over again. Be strong. Don't yield to weakness and of anxieties. Anxiety is going to weaken you. Fear makes you weak. Be strong. The word means to grow strong, to prevail, to be firm, to be secure. Oftentimes when the mentor or a father figure is removed, it leaves us in a place of insecurity. It kind of messes with our identity a little bit. Who am I? What am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be like my dad? Is the things that happen to dad going to happen to me? All of these things play a part in us emotionally and spiritually. He said, be secure. In your relationship with God, you are accepted and loved. And you are equipped. Don't fear. not given to indecision or insecurity. To be courageous, the word means to be strong. Very much a Hebrew aspect to say the same thing with different words. But this has a little bit of a different flavor to it. It's being strong in the sense of being determined, to be alert, to be persistent. It is to be bold. And finally, there is a necessity to be in the Word. Verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. In verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. It is absolutely necessary to be in the Word of God. You have your own relationship with God. The presence of God is with you, but you have got to be in the Word. We don't have time to do it tonight, but you can go home and look up, compare and contrast the passage of 1 Samuel 25 and the book of 2 Timothy with the things that were spoken to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. You're going to see a lot of similarities. There's a lot of things that are the same. We don't change that much, right? Human nature, we respond a lot of the same ways that other people have responded. And so what was said to Joshua was said to Solomon. What was said to Solomon was said to Timothy. And it's given to us three times that we would accept it for ourselves as well.